Writer-director Cary Fukunaga and actress Mia Wasikowska, that sounds so impressive, have taken on the Jane Eyre mantle in yet another reimagining of the classic story, and what I would think would be, considering the story's film and television history, sort of like, in a way, the ultimate challenge for a director and an actor. Is that fair to say, you guys? I mean, my sense about this would be, how would I even remotely add to the whole canon? But you're the man, so please respond.
Well, I feel Jane Eyre should be made every 5 years into a film, sort of like a marathon, till the end of time, until they start doing Jane Eyre in the Park in Central Park in New York.
There you go, Jane Eyre in the Park. Yeah, right.
As a sort of tradition. I think great stories can be retold all the time. There's no reason for it to just be one time, and why not try to do it better every time? For me, the Orson Welles-Joan Fontaine pairing under the direction of Bob Stevens is probably one of the best adaptations and the one that I was familiar with growing up. And, you know, my mom loved the old black and white films, and I would watch them with her, and she loved the Brontes and Jane Austen as well. So I was kind of surrounded by, you know, 19th century, the equivalents of 19th century chick lit from a very young age.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd always wanted to do a period film, and I studied history, and when the idea of doing Jane Eyre sort of popped up, it seemed perfect because it was close enough thematically to my last film, but also very, very different.
And Mia, you're sort of the right age for this role too, I think, unlike some of your predecessors.
Yeah, and when I heard that Cary sort of wanted to make the whole cast younger, or not younger, because they're actually very accurately the ages that they're supposed to be in the book, but that's an element that I felt had sort of been missed in previous adaptations, and that was something that really struck me. That Jane is actually just 18 years old.
Right, and she's really just a girl in
a way. She's a real teenager, like the same as every other 18-year-old in the world, even today, but her responsibilities are just so much higher and kind of on a different level. But really, she's the same needs and the same desires as every other young woman, so... I thought that was really cool.
And I read somewhere where you brought very definite ideas to the table on how she should be played. Do you want to share some of those with us?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I wanted to do was, I think we sort of chose to have a slightly northern accent or a hint of a northern accent. And I like the idea of Jane not being completely polished and having some echo of a slightly rougher past or something in her past. And then we justified that by saying that she was probably mostly raised by Bessie, her nurse, who has a very strong northern accent.
Yeah, and I also imagined it. One of the things I thought was very particularly strong about this piece, too, is that the dialogue was very much of a piece and was very period. And listening to it, it was obviously very poetic, but it sounded natural, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's a language that we don't use anymore. The language is so poetic and beautiful and really passionate. I think we all wanted to make that sound as real and natural as possible.
So how is this? I mean, I know, but I'm leading you on here. How is this version different than the previous versions, would you say?
I haven't watched that many of the previous versions. I watched enough to see what I liked and disliked. And I think in this particular version, we've tried to keep the atmosphere consistent. And I think that's what you'd see shifting in other versions, where the sort of... what you could describe as early Gothic elements of the story sort of feel out of place in other films because they're more couched in the romance. This one has, I think, a more consistent sort of line in the darker, gloomier side of the story. And for me, I think the Brontes preferred that feeling. I mean, if you see where they grew up, the parsonage, they basically grew up in a cemetery. And, you know, to wake up every morning to gravestones... it's a very different thing than waking up to, you know, a pasture of flowers and greenery. So
the Rivers family is in this one too, which we don't always get to see, which I thought was really great. But you're right about the tone; it was pretty consistent. You referenced the Stevenson version, which I think is great too. But that almost seems like two movies to me. You know, you've got the beginning at the orphanage seemed very much had a specific tone, and then when she went, when Jane met Rochester, it turned into a it seemed to feel a little different. But this one is more consistent in tone, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, especially when you deal with sort of like charity schools, because you can fall into this sort of like Dickensian trope really quickly, and especially I think with British drama, be it stage, literary, or even on screen, you've seen a lot of that. So I think English audiences especially are much more sensitive to it than American audiences, but we've seen it enough times that it becomes almost cliche. So again, it's always about that balance of the reality of what the school is like without making it seem like too much like something straight out of, you know, Dickens.
We're talking to Cary Fukunaga and Mia Wasikowska, director and lead actress, respectively, of Jane Eyre. Could you guys speak to the relevance of the story today?
I feel like the story is a very modern story, and Jane's popularity definitely hasn't died or you know, disconnected from people. She continues to connect with people, you know, through generations and, you know, just as strong, you know, with as much strength now as she did, in her time. And so I feel like, you know, she's also, if she was a character today, she would really thrive. Yeah.
I think, in terms of the kinds of people that you would want to get behind, Jane's also just self-described as being someone who must respect herself and always do what's right. And how she was able to get to this sort of code is, despite all the challenges she faced in her life, I think is an incredible thing. And everyone faces challenges, but it's also her originality of thought and the way she approaches her problems that separates her from the masses. And I think that's a heroine that anyone can get behind.
Right. Well, you know, the themes are universal too. All the morality themes and the God and religion and all that social class stuff. The gender politics, I think, are interesting. The society is so patriarchal. You know, all the themes of atonement, forgiveness, etc. But yeah, that's pretty obvious. Mia, do you want to speak to the disadvantages of being in a film where you have to wear a corset like through most of the film?
Yes, it's incredibly painful, and in terms of it gave me a real understanding for you know, what women had to face in that time, the repression and the restriction. It exemplified that, and you know, you can't bend down very far, and then there's a flap over your arm, so you can't really reach up, you know, to grab anything up high. So that alone is an incredible repression. And then it takes, you know, 40 minutes to get dressed, even longer.
That's so insane that women were wearing those things.
Ridiculous.
Probably designed by men,
yes,
I'm assuming.
Yeah. And I've never been more happy to be born in our day than I have when I first stepped into the corset and realized that women had to wear that every day. And it literally pushes your organs down and up and you have a restricted breath. It's really kind of incredible.
Yeah. So, and I know Jamie Bell is in this movie, and I'm sure you've been asked this before, but you're a former ballerina, and he's a dancer as well. Did you guys get...
There was a lot of dancing.
A lot of dancing in between takes, right?
We had a lot of fun. I've worked with Jamie once before. We've been married in... So we're good friends, and it was just so much fun, you know, working with him. And it's, you know, he brings a lot of energy to his work, and he's a great character himself. So,
well, the film is terrific. I think this film is going to serve as a great introduction for young people, maybe that aren't familiar with the novel.
Yeah.
That never. Do you guys remember when you first? When you first read it? I know you were later coming to it, weren't you, Mia?
Yeah, well, I read it. I had just finished filming Alice in Wonderland, and I came back to Australia, and I made a list of books to read, and Jane Eyre was on the list.
So you didn't get it in school, huh?
No, we didn't get it in school in Australia, but I started reading it, and I think I was up to chapter 5, and I got in touch with my agent and asked her if anything was happening with the project, or if there was a script around, and there wasn't at the time, but literally a month or two later, she sent me the script, and I was meeting with Cary, and so it was good timing.
I didn't read it as a child. I mean, I saw the movie and I thought...
You guys didn't get it in school, huh? They gave it to us in ninth grade.
We didn't even know how to read in school. I mean,
that sounds like more like today, century, kids today. Yeah, yeah.
But I read the book and then reread it multiple times after I got the job. And like Mia said, we'd go through chapters, underline things and mine it for all the detail. But, you know, it's definitely one of those classics that sit on shelves, and especially in your parents' house. You're like, one day I might approach that. That big looking book.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I remember everybody complained about the length, but the story was so great. Okay, Carrie Fukunaga and Mia Wasikowska. But it's unfair to have to say both of those names in the same breath. But anyway, director and lead actress, respectively. The film is Jane Eyre. Check it out. Thank you both so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
I'm Tim Seca for Celluloid Dreams, celebrating the art of film and the movie-going experience online at celluloiddreams.net and in San Jose on 90.5 FM KSJS.